saying so long, summer. We're just minutes away from the autumnal equinox. Fall. Beautiful weather continues, though. We'll take it. What a fabulous weekend we had just behind us here. And the rest of this week, for the most part, across the province. There's some talk of scattered shower activity here and there. But for the most part, temperatures staying well above normal for the foreseeable future. We are saying happy anniversary to our next guest on the Evan Bray Show. We're joined right now by Volker Gertz. Volker, you've heard on this radio station many times over the years, director and CEO of VIDO, the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. So yes, happy 50th, Volker.
Thank you very much.
So 50 years, I was reading the history of VIDO, and it's interesting how you have developed and morphed into the entity you are today. It started out in 1975, more for livestock, right?
That's right. It's quite an amazing story, actually. It was a spin-off early on 50 years ago from the Vet College, focused on livestock diseases and really focusing on developing vaccines that people can use. And so over the years, we did. We developed a number of real game changers. People might remember Vicogen, a vaccine for calf scours, and several others. It's a really an amazing story to look back to where we started and where we are now, Canada's Center for Pandemic Research.
How did the transition occur from livestock to humans?
Well, it's really recognizing that these diseases are all the same, right? I mean, we see pathogens jumping from animals into humans. Sometimes they jump back from humans into animals. We call them zoonotic infections. So you can't really work in isolation. You can't really work just on human diseases or on animal diseases, especially when you work on these new emerging diseases like we saw with COVID and others. You never know. They have a reservoir in animals and eventually jump into humans or, like I said, going back. So really, for us, it's the one health concept. It's recognizing that human health and animal health is closely linked to each other.
I suspect a lot of people in our province weren't even aware of VIDO until, as you mentioned, COVID came along. And I know you were in the media a lot over the course of that year or two that we had to deal with the pandemic. So now, is it safe to say you're not so much in the spotlight anymore?
Well, it's not as much anymore, of course, but I think what COVID really showed to all of us is what the impact of these diseases can be, right?
Yeah.
How we all in our lives are affected by it. And so it's important that we, as we look into the future, have organizations like VIDO that can, in the future, make sure that we're better prepared for whatever the next disease is.
When we think about an organization like VIDO, and you've got, I think I saw 200 or so scientists and trainees and technicians and staff that are working on site, you're not there working on this just by yourself. I recall having an interview with you during COVID about how you're connected with labs all over the world, really, when you're working on a common goal.
That's right. We're really now an international organization. We have projects with some of the largest institutes in the world. We're funded by some of the largest international funders in the world. And it's really working together, right? I mean, COVID has shown us all that a disease that today starts in China, tomorrow can be in Canada. And so that's the same with animal diseases. And so you can't work in isolation anymore. You need to work with the key partners around the world and tackle these big challenges. As we, for example, just saw with avian flu, right? It jumped into dairy cattle last year. It spread all through the U.S. That's a huge concern for everyone in the world when a virus does that.
Absolutely. So any one special project that is the focus of your attention at VIDO these days?
Well, there is lots of very, very interesting projects going on. Of course, we're looking right now for in developing a vaccine for a human, for patients or for humans, and looking at coronaviruses for the future. So something that not only protects us against today's COVID, but also against future coronaviruses, so the diseases that tomorrow might show up. We have a project on, like I said, avian influenza. We have projects on prion diseases like chronic wasting disease, a very exciting vaccine for bovine tuberculosis. So there is many, many different projects that are ongoing here at the moment.
How do you figure out what you're doing day to day? I'm just curious. You've got this huge team out there, and as you mentioned, you've got a number of different projects you're on the go. Is it you yourself that sits down and says, okay, we're going to work on this item this year?
Well, there is a whole team here, right? So the whole leadership team, we have advisors, stakeholders, we check back in with the industry around us. It's a team effort, right? I'm just one one piece in the puzzle there. But it is setting priorities for the next few years. We have what we call a 10-year roadmap. We really mapped out what the big challenges of the future are and what we need to do in terms of addressing them, whether it's AI or high-performance computing or whether it's new diseases or even the infrastructure that we now, with support from all levels of government and many donors, are building here. It's world-class, right? And it's really helping us to address the challenges of the future. And so the leadership team here, we're just trying to map it all out and figuring out what the plan is to move forward.
Interesting work that you're doing, no doubt. And you talked about the donors and the government support that you receive from all levels of government and such, and all of that has led to a big expansion for you, a physical expansion. Is that work all complete now?
Yeah, well, it's underway. So that's what we call our pandemic center project. So years ago, we reported already one element of it, our own in-house vaccine manufacturing facility. So that's up and running, and it's full, actually. We're booking now into late 27 already. So that's very, very good. We're now building a new facility to house the animals that are needed in this research here, and we're also upgrading to the highest level of containment. And so what that really allows us in the future is to work with whatever the next pathogen is, whether it's an animal or a human pathogen, we are ready to work with it. We're ready to immediately start the work and then even in-house manufacture those vaccines. And so that's critical, right? If you think about back to the pandemic, time is of essence, and so by having it in-house, we're able to quickly respond.
You know, one thing I love about Saskatchewan, and I know a lot of people in the medical community that are working here in Saskatchewan because they wanted to come here. They heard about the facilities we have, the new technology that a lot of our facilities are using, and I'm guessing that's the same for you at Vito. You are now a place that some of these scientists want to come and be part of.
Oh, yeah, like just like you said, right? I mean, we have some of the best infrastructure here. We can offer scientists really the chance of discovering new technologies in the lab and testing them out in-house and even manufacturing them in-house. And so that's very, very unique. And then you have a University of Saskatchewan around us, which, as you know, is very, very strong in life sciences, in One Health. And so the environment here is what attracts people from all around the world to come here.
And just another reason to be proud of one of these great entities we've got here in Saskatchewan. Volker Gerz, Director and CEO of Vito, Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization, on their 50th anniversary. Here's to another 50, Volker. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Stay old farmer, out working your field, hanging down over your tractor wheel. The sun beating down, turned the red paint to orange, rusty old patches of steel. There's no farmer songs on that car radio. Just cowboys, truck drivers, and pain.
That's for you, Evan Bray.
Well, this is my
gosh, there's a throwback, to what, early 70s? Murray McLaughlin and the Farmer's Song. Our Evan Bray is out helping the family, out on the farm, driving the grain truck today. Safe travels. Have a good day, Evan. That brings back a memory for me when I was a kid. Probably would have been 15 years old. And a fellow who was a friend of my parents asked if I'd be willing to come out and drive grain truck. Now, granted, you know, this is 1970, so we're not talking the big massive grain trucks that you see farm operations using. This was probably like a 3-ton truck, but I just remember my job didn't last very long because he's driving this old Massey Ferguson combine, and he's telling me, he says, okay, I'll give you a wave from this side of the field when the hopper's full and you drive the truck over and we'll load the truck and you take it back to put it in the grain bin. But I kept driving over the swath. It drove him crazy. And he'd be waving at me and cursing at me. So he paid me out at the end of the day. I think I got $5. And he says, yeah, don't bother coming back tomorrow. So I know Evan is doing a far better job than I ever did driving a grain truck. Wow. Is there a lot of people upset about these changes made announced by the CFL commissioner today? If you missed the announcement, at 11 o'clock. A little bit of showmanship. I'll give the CFL credit. You know, there was this word went out, a news release went out saying major significant announcement, CFL commissioner, 11 a.m. this morning, Saskatchewan time, be there. Well, we were there, and you heard Jamie Nye as the news conference was carried live from Toronto here on CJME and CKOM. And the commish had a fair amount to say. Basically, over the next two seasons, 26 and 27, there's going to be some changes. I wouldn't call them earth-shattering. That's my opinion. A lot of our texters think this is the beginning of the end of the CFL as we know it. End zone reduced to 15 yards. The field is being reduced. No more 55 yards each side. It's 100 yards for the full field. Benches have to be on opposite sides, which you'd wonder why they hadn't done that by now. Goalposts will move back to the back of the end zone, and that'll be in 2027. They're going to move the goalposts back. The rouge being modified. The rouge will still be there, but not the whole miss a field goal and you get a point kind of thing. It'll all depend on where the ball is. As long as the ball stays in the end zone, player holds it, can't get out, that'll be how you earn the 1 point on the modified rouge. The 35-second game clock, I think that's a great idea. Right now it's 20 seconds for you to launch your play, you know, but it's the referees that, you know, signal, okay, start the clock now. This is going to be a situation, what we're seeing in Major League Baseball with the time clock, and I really think the Major League Baseball time clock has really sped up the games. I like it. So I don't think this is a bad thing. The 35 second game clock, one play ends, and assuming nobody's down with an injury, the time clock starts, and it's up to the team to get up to the line of scrimmage and get the ball in action within 35 seconds. Let me share with you, though, some of the comments off our text line after the announcement was made at 1-877-332-8255. First off, Daryl says, quite simply, not in favor of shortening the field, not at all. Where the heck are we here? Nearly the NFL. You just missed the fourth down. It's just a matter of time. That's what Chris thinks in Saskatoon. And echoing that, Myron says, welcome to the CNFL. Somebody says you should have done away with the league being able to overturn calls. That was Tom in Dundurn. And that points to the command center and some of the decisions that they've been making. Kirk says, so we are literally moving the goalposts. Definitely not a fan of that. And going to 100 yards for the field, no on that. Benches, great idea. Modified rouge, great. Shorter and standardized end zones, perfect. So at least Kirk felt probably half of the changes were okay with him. Another listener texting in, don't agree with making the field shorter. It's one of those things that made the CFL unique. The other changes aren't going to make a big difference. Brent says, first move to become NFL North. Don't like it. Kraut says, all-time place kicker stats for points in the CFL will never be beat now. Trev says, why does the CFL have to ruin everything? An act of desperation? If that's the case, shut it down. I've lost a lot more interest. Just become the NFL already, Trev says. He is out. Lauren says shortening fields from 110 to 100 yards is a crappy decision. This is going to be the NFL No Fun League. 1-877-332-8255. And on a side note, Sheldon and Estevan said, just one thing about the CFL commissioner, he's a better public speaker than most prime ministers that we've had in recent years. That's an interesting observation. 1-877-332-8255. Oh, there's lots more. Dan in Saskatoon, this idiot just took the C out of CFL. Makes me sick just listening to him justify these changes. He's just a puppet of the owners and those who are going to benefit financially. What scares me most, Dan says, this is just the beginning. The game originated in Canada and was uniquely Canadian. Instead of embracing and holding on to what we have, we're caving into the American way. I understand your frustration, Dan, but I think at the end of the day, as you said, it is the owners, and they're the ones that are footing the bill. And with what we're seeing with viewer numbers, seeing the number of people in the stands in most of the fields, I think they feel something has to be done to maintain the health. I think change is good. I think it's positive. If it in some way attracts more people just through a curiosity factor, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. 1-877-332-8255. Ed in Rossler and says, ask Brett Lowther what he thinks about moving the goalpost back. Well, that's interesting. That may come up on the Green Zone today because it'll take up a big chunk of the show. 2 till 6, the Green Zone. Jamie and I and Locker. Thank you for being here today. Brent Lauk's filling in. I'll be here tomorrow, Wednesday as well. The Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.